Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson from the New Testament is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sky shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children. If you are here in the sanctuary, just come down and meet me here. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens and we will share a few minutes together on this Pentecost Sunday. As you're coming forward, one of the things we do at Pentecost is change the colors to red. So I love this bright red color. It's supposed to remind us of the Holy Spirit. Come on down. Glad to see everybody. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, thank you for filling in the space here. I know, I think Caroline wants to come too. Well, over the course of my life, which is a pretty long life so far, I've had the privilege of traveling to a lot of different places and worshiping with Christians in all sorts of different places across the world. I've even been to a church in Russia. I have worshiped in Mexico. I've worshiped with my friend David, who you're going to meet in a few minutes, in Uganda. I have worshiped in France. And they're all different languages and different ways of worshiping. I've been to different churches here in Nashville and different faith communities. And, you know, some of them have like guitars and drums. And some of them don't have a choir, and the pastors don't wear robes. All different ways of worshiping. And you know what? I think God loves that. I think God created us to be different in all sorts of ways. And there are ways we can share God's love and tell the world about God's love that are different from each other. It would be kind of boring if every church looked like this one, or if every choir sounded the same. The story that we've just heard is about a group of Jesus followers who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all really different from each other. And they started speaking in all the different languages of the world. And there were people from all over the world who heard it. And then they went back to their homes, and they started talking about Jesus in all of these different ways. And I just think it's a beautiful thing that we're all different because God loves that about us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much that we're not all the same, that you created us all to be different, unique people, different kinds of places and languages and ways of worshiping. We're all telling one story, and that is the story of your love. Help us to know your love in Jesus' name today. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Miss Molly. And I think Miss Abby's over there. Yeah, good. And have a great time. And everyone else can go back and sit with parents or friends. Pentecost, for me, is such an exciting Sunday. I love all of the hymns that we sing. I loved the organ voluntary that Andrew played that sort of ushered us into this time of worship and lifted our spirits. And I love that some of you, there's a sprinkling of red over here. I love the change to the red pyramids. It's a story that reminds us of the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear this story about the little band of Jesus' followers who had followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Last week, we heard the story of his ascension. After his resurrection, he spent some time with them, and then he ascended into heaven and told them to wait, to stay together and pray and wait, and they would be given what they needed. And so today is the story of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this little band of disciples. And there's a lot in the story that, at least the way the Spirit emerged upon them in that moment, was loud and dramatic. It was like the rush of a mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire landed on each one of them, and they all started talking in different languages. As you can imagine, the noise level and the chaos of that moment. And so we see in this Pentecost the power, the volume, the drama of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things I noticed this time around, as I sat with this story this year, was that the Spirit also has a strategy. This wasn't just a random moment that God chose to pour out the Spirit in a fresh way. I think there's some strategy going on. We find out at the beginning of Acts, as Jesus is about to ascend, he tells his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This has been God's plan from the very, very beginning, to share the love of God, the good news of God's love and God's forgiveness and God's reaching out to all humankind to the ends of the earth. And so what better way to do that than in this moment with these people? Let me dig into that just a little bit. Let's start with just Jesus' innermost circle of apostles. At this point in the story, of course, Judas is no longer with them. But we have the 11. And Jesus had gathered around him a group of people who were very different from each other. He didn't get guys who were all the same. We have 4 fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, men who worked with their hands, probably uneducated, illiterate. We have Matthew, a tax collector who was working with Rome and getting rich off the backs of his own people. And then we have Simon the Zealot, whom we don't know much about, but he bore the name Zealot, which meant he was part of a political movement that opposed Rome and wanted to get rid of Rome and wanted to raise up a rebellion against Rome. And you have all of these of the sons of thunder. I mean, what was that about? How did they all get along? And Jesus brought together all of these different men to be his disciples and to teach them how to tell the story of God's love, how to find their oneness even in their diversity. So we expand it out a little bit. On this day of Pentecost, Luke tells us there were about 120 people there. So who are these people? Aside from the 11 that we know, Luke tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and some of the other women that had followed Jesus in Galilee. In other places in the Gospels, they're named, a few of them, so we know there is Mary Magdalene, of course, out of whom Jesus cast 7 demons. We don't know much of her story except that she had been very broken and sick when he met her. And he healed her and she followed him and was one of his most faithful followers, the first to see the risen Christ, according to John's gospel. And then there may have been Joanna. Now, Joanna's husband was a steward of King Herod. So Joanna is in that inner circle of Herod, of the people who have Herod's ear in places of power in Judea. And yet here she is, a follower of Jesus, in the mix. For many of the others, we have to use our imagination. 120 of them, most of them from Galilee. So I wonder if maybe Zacchaeus was there. Not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, a very wealthy and powerful man who had yet still been on the margins in his community. I wonder if he made the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem with Jesus. I wonder if Nicodemus was there, or Joseph of Arimathea. We'll hear some of Nicodemus' story next week, but we learn in John's gospel that he and Joseph of Arimathea, these powerful Pharisees who sat on the Sanhedrin council, were disciples of Jesus at the end. They buried his body in the gospel of John, and I wonder if they stayed in Jerusalem and gathered with the other followers of Jesus. So we have these powerful, wealthy, well-educated men who are there. We also have perhaps maybe Bartimaeus, the beggar who'd been on the side of the road, whom Jesus healed of his blindness, and who stood up and threw off his cloak and started following Jesus. Maybe he was there. Maybe the woman who'd had the hemorrhage for 12 years, who was so ostracized by her community and yet was healed when she grabbed Jesus' robe. Maybe he changed her life so that she followed him all the way to Jerusalem. 120 of them. We can only imagine who they were and what their stories were, but they were incredibly different from each other, from the most wealthy, powerful, highly educated, to the poorest, outcast, marginalized. So different. And yet all of them had been changed by Jesus. All of them had had an encounter with the Son of God, had been seen by him, had been loved by him, had been invited by him to follow. And they did. And so on that Pentecost day, there were all these people from Galilee gathered together. And it was Pentecost, which means it was a festival day in Jerusalem. Pentecost was a Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks, and faithful Jews from all over the known world would have made a pilgrimage to worship in Jerusalem on that day during that week. And so this is where I think the Spirit's strategy really shows up. The Spirit chose that day when Jews from all over the world and proselytes, meaning those who might not be Jewish but were curious about the God of Israel and interested in learning more, were all gathered and milling around the city of Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit pours out on this little motley crew of Galileans, and they start talking. and singing and shouting in all these different languages of the world. And they made such a racket that a crowd started to gather. And then we see Peter. Peter, who was the most stubborn, thick-headed of all the disciples. Peter, who on the day that Jesus was arrested denied even knowing him. Peter, who had run off into the darkness and who had thought he was unworthy to be Jesus' disciple, is the one so filled with the Holy Spirit that he stands up and begins to testify. And the story says that all of these different kinds of people and all of these different languages were telling one story about the power of God, telling the story of how Jesus had touched them and changed them. And that was the Spirit's strategy. And by the end of the day, there were 3,000 who were telling the story. I think that is still the strategy of the Holy Spirit, my friends. The Spirit is poured out upon all of us, as different as we are. Now, we are all worshiping in this moment as part of West End United Methodist Church, but we're so different from one another. We have very different kinds of stories and different ways that God has changed us and transformed us and invited us and stretched us. We each have a different story to tell. And you take this and multiply it exponentially to all the different ways of being human in this world. And the Holy Spirit is ready to work through each and every one. So the way we tell the story will be different from each other. But we tell the same story about God, about God's love, about God's forgiveness, about God's inclusion of all of us, about God's love for the whole world. So how do you tell that story? Don't tell yourself, well, my story's not as exciting or as interesting or as dramatic as their story. I met a woman this week at a music gathering, and we got to talking about our faith, and she said, well, when did you come to the Lord? And I said, well, I was kind of born into church. You know, my journey has been a lot more gradual, and I've had moments for sure, but not the kind of dramatic experience that she had. And yet my experience of the Spirit matters and is important, and it will reach some people, and her story might reach other people that mine wouldn't. And God uses all of it and all of us. So my friends, what is your story? Where have you experienced the power of God, the love and grace of God in your life? You have a story to tell, maybe with words, certainly with actions. May we go forth from this Pentecost day to embrace our own story and to give thanks to God for the beautiful differences and diversity and voices of all of our stories. May it be a beautiful chorus that helps the Holy Spirit transform the world. Amen.